Good morning, friends. It's Friday here at Coast Community Radio, and the show is called Friday with Jim. And as you might suspect, I'm Jim. And assisting me ably here is engineer par excellence, Mr. Terry Wilson. Terry, thank you so much for your help. And the Friday show was conceived originally by Lisa Smith and is produced by Kathleen Morgain. And we tackle various subjects every week, and today we're really happy to have as a guest Lisa Phipps from the Tillamook Estuary Program. Hey, Lisa, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's great to talk about estuaries. We've been it's kind of like estuaries this spring. It's been a big deal for us. But before we get started on that, I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about yourself in a little biographical sketch.
Sure, it feels a little bit like a family circus route every time I talk about it, but I'm the executive director for the Tillamook Estuaries Partnership, and I've been in Oregon for the last 15 years, working with Tillamook County as the coastal resource planner, so dealing with land use issues for the first 9, and then with the partnership for the last 6. I have a master's in environmental law from Vermont Law School and a bachelor's in fisheries from Michigan State University, and had some field experience with the Idaho Department of Fish and Game, some of my first jobs out of college, and was able to pull all those things together and bring it to the partnership.
And how do you manage to interact? What kind of relationships have you got set up to interact with the locals in Tillamook?
Yeah, that's great. So the partnership was actually created back in the early 90s through a grassroots effort. We were having some significant challenges in Tillamook Bay specifically. We were having dramatically declining coho runs. Our water quality issues were very significant, particularly around bacteria. We were seeing a lot of shellfish closure, harvest closures, and the community came together. Community leaders got on board and asked the state at that time, Governor Roberts, to petition EPA to make Tillamook Bay a bay of national significance. And after reviewing all of the efforts done at the local level, they agreed, and then we began the process of becoming a national estuary program. And that was a 5-year process which had extensive public input. A lot of local knowledge was gathered in that process. And in 1999, we became a national estuary program. And in 2002, we became a nonprofit, and over the last few years specifically, we've actually tackled updating that CCMP. That's the Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan that all of their efforts went into creating. Going back out and re-engaging the public in the process. There's a lot of landowner participation just in general for restoration projects. We have a lot of volunteers for our education programs particularly, but we have a tremendously dedicated water quality monitoring cadre of volunteers that have been with us some for as long as 20 years. So, you know, it's an ongoing process, and it's always at the front of our mind about how to keep people engaged.
Well, I'm curious, Lisa, the degradation that you've noticed in the estuaries, can some of that, or most of it, or how much of it can be actually attributed to dairy farming?
Well, you know, so that's an interesting question. There's no doubt that it's a contributing factor, but we're actually in the process of working with OSU on and EPA on doing markers, DNA markers, identifying exactly what the source of bacteria is, which I think is going to help us in a number of ways. First off, if it is related to agriculture, we're going to be able to, you know, work a little bit more closely about best management practices. But I suspect we're going to find a lot of human influence, too. There are a lot of septic systems around the estuaries. And so also, you know, figuring out a strategy to address that as well. But bacteria comes from a number of sources, and agriculture is certainly one of those.
Yeah, I can't help but wonder. I think there's probably more cattle in Tillamook County than there are people. Is that true?
That is the rumor. Yes, we do have a few more cows than people here.
And also,
it's one of our backbone industries.
Now, maybe you can talk about the economics of habitat restoration and how does that really work?
Sure. It's actually becoming one of my favorite topics because for so long, people have looked at conservation sort of independent of any other benefits that might come out of it. And there are so many other benefits besides just the actual restoration of some resource habitat type. So, for example, our program is funded. The base funding comes from EPA through the Clean Water Section 320. And so over the last 12 years, we've been tracking what those dollars go towards. And just from that pot of money alone, it's gone over $4.5 million have come back into the local area. So that's through jobs here at the partnership. That's through using local retailers, local contractors, putting money back out into our partner programs. That's just from one single pot of money, $4.5 million. And then EcoTrust did this really interesting review of restoration and the money that's associated with it on a county-by-county basis, and between 2001 and 2010 in Tillamook, just over $44 million was put back into this area for restoration. Now, some of those dollars do go back out, regionally. We sort of have a tier, so you've got local, which is all of Tillamook County, then regionally, which is the North Coast, and then just the state of Oregon, because living on the coast sometimes. What we're looking for, the expertise is so specific that you do have to sometimes go elsewhere for that. But those are significant dollars, especially in a community of 25,000 people.
Well, what you're doing really implies a program of monitoring the water quality, and I'm curious, how do you do that, and how is it funded, and kind of describe that program.
Sure. So we are... So one of our mandates at being born out of the Clean Water Act is actually monitoring water quality in our estuaries, and we monitor water quality in all five estuaries in Tillamook County, the Nehalem, Tillamook, Neetart, Sand Lake, and Nestucca, and we monitor for dissolved oxygen, temperature, bacteria in all of the bays, and then we also monitor for sediment, in the Tillamook Basin, and we have funded it through both the $320, the EPA money. We've also funded it with some grants from Oregon Department of Agriculture, the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. We've also, in partnering with the watershed councils, have been able to build some capacity that way. And we have a volunteer monitoring cadre that go out twice a month. Come rain, shine, sleet, hail. They're out there in some of the most awful weather you can imagine, but they do it, and they're so loyal and faithful, it's incredible. And we get samples twice a month for bacteria and temperature. We do them here in our office. We have a small lab, and the results are fairly immediate. And for dissolved oxygen, we send that to the EPA lab. We've also done some monitoring for pesticides and other toxics in partnership with the Department of Environmental Quality. And we couldn't do it without a volunteer base, that's for sure. They are, as I said, they're just kind of incredible. And some of these folks have been with us for 20 years, and it's just part of their genetics now, and it's really incredible. And the challenge, I think, for us and really any program that does something that has such a long-term expectation is continuing to be able to recruit people and get that same sense of commitment that a lot of these folks had when this program first started. So we're very, very lucky.
Yeah, we'll be talking about your volunteer program here in a little bit, but I'm curious about, as far as the monitoring, how do you, I'm assuming that you monitor for BOD, biological oxygen demand. How do you go about doing that?
So we monitor for dissolved oxygen.
No BODs?
No, we do not.
Okay.
Yeah. We've worked out all of our protocols with the Department of Environmental Quality. So all of these have passed their quality assurance standards at both the state and federal level. But when we went through our processes of determining what the real issues were that we needed to monitor in the bay, those were the ones that fell out: the bacteria, temperature, dissolved oxygen, somewhat following in line with the TMDLs that were established by the state, you know, several years ago. So I think working with that hand in hand with DEQ is what makes that as successful as it's been. And having a lab here to be able to work through the bacteria samples, I think, has made a world of difference in terms of our ability to get the information out and to be able to, you know, have a consistent. We're doing it, so it's very consistent. We follow the same protocols and methodologies, so we feel very comfortable with the outputs.
Now, if you had the ability to do it, are there other stuff that you would like to monitor? If you had the abilities, what increase would you do?
Yeah, I think if we were looking at expanding a program and there was money and the world was perfect about this, we'd probably look at nutrients. That's a big push by EPA right now. That's one of their 7 focus points. And so we'd probably look at nutrients. And then, you know, the other part of monitoring, which wouldn't necessarily be around water quality per se, would be the monitoring the effectiveness of restoration across the landscapes. And that is such a big effort. But if money was no object, that would definitely be one of the focal points.
That would be pretty tough to do, wouldn't it?
It would be extremely tough to do. But right now, you know, like CREST or the Lower Columbia Estuary Partnership and one of our sister programs, you know, what we're doing is we monitor the project. So we, you know, do post-project monitoring. And then there is some effectiveness monitoring, but wouldn't that be great if you could actually paint this picture of what it was like, all this work's been done, and how those activities have tied back into actually improvements? I mean, that would be such a potentially powerful story, much like one that you shared with me before the interview started. And, you know, there was a dike was breached, and suddenly there were fish there, where fish hadn't been since World War II. Those are really compelling, exciting stories.
Yeah, that was a CREST project on Liberty Lane here in Astoria. Opened up some wetlands area that was, within a day of opening it up, the fish were there. I don't know whether they were hanging out or whether they've got some kind of fish telegraph that, you know, here's where we go. But anyway, yeah, it was really amazing.
Yeah, I mean, those are great stories. And that's what that effectiveness monitoring really, that's the story it can tell. So, you know, we certainly have applied it to one of our larger projects that was completed here back in 2012, a wetland restoration on the Miami River, a river that drains into Tillamook Bay, and we've now been monitoring it for the last 3 years extensively, plant densities, transects, channel migrations, because channels were created in the wetland, beaver activity. I mean, you name it, we're covering it, and we're really just trying to document how this wetland slowly restores itself back to what it historically was. And that's really exciting, but it's a lot of time, it's a lot of money, and it becomes a real challenge. So a lot of what we have to do is extrapolate, you know, when we're seeing these benefits, what's happened in the watershed. And, you know, so farms have been using different management practices, more trees have been planted in residential areas, you know, just kind of going through the list of factors that might have influenced these positive changes. And you know, that's really how we look at it right now. And it's probably pretty accurate, all things considered, but it would be nice to have a little bit more comprehensive approach to looking at the watersheds as a whole.
Right. It takes more money.
You know, it takes so much money and so much time. It's several full-time jobs, as you would, you know, as you would imagine.
Well, I'd like to remind our listeners that it's Friday here at Coast Community Radio, and we're talking with Lisa Phipps from Tillamook, who is kind of the leader of the estuary program down there, and we're talking about a lot of the kind of stuff that she's involved with in Tillamook County and the estuaries there. Now, Lisa, I'm curious about if you could describe one specific project that you've done, on-the-ground type enhancement project.
Oh gosh, there's been so many. Well, I guess I would go back to the one I alluded to just a few seconds ago about it's the Miami Wetland Enhancement Project.
Yeah, maybe you could expand on that.
Sure. It started out as a pretty small project. It's really the only location on the Miami River that was suitable for that kind of restoration. If you're not familiar with the Miami, its tidal influence is very limited, and this property just happened to be on there, and it was really triggered by a neighboring owner across the river who was really interested in leaving a legacy of restoration, and he was looking to do a conservation easement across his property and some restoration, because it was actually in pretty good shape. And he actually approached the neighbor on the opposite side of the river and said, "Would you consider this?" And he did. And so then we got involved, and that was also, it's funny how long these projects take. You know, you see them on the ground, and it looks like, you know, it took 6 months, but really it took 8 years.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that goes into leading up to actual on the ground. And so it ended up being around 40 acres on both sides, you know, total on both sides. And we did channel reconnection. There are a couple small streams that flow through that wetland. They'd been channelized. We put the sinuosity back into the channel, went through, and it was loaded with reed canary grass, went through with manual labor. We didn't use any herbicides, removed as much as we could, and just planted and planted and planted the species that would have been native to that site if it had been functioning as this tidal wetland, you know, all these years. So the idea is that it's going to be a spruce swamp at some point. The vegetation has taken off. It is just fabulous. You look out there, but what's so funny is it's one of those sites that's really visible. It's right on 101, and you look down and you see a bunch of woods sticking out of it because there's all this large wood placed in the floodplain, and you see these channels, and you see a lot of plants and trees starting to really take hold, and you don't give it a second thought. You just go, "Oh, there's a wetland,"
right.
And you don't even recognize all the effort. And that's exactly what you really want it to be. It's like, "Oh, that's a wetland. That's exactly right. That was the goal. I'm glad we're achieving it." And so it has been really successful. There were 26 partners were involved in that project, that small project. The landowners eventually, conservation easement was placed over on the south side of the river, and on the north side, the owner actually sold his property to the Nature Conservancy, so it'll be protected in perpetuity. And it's just a really great feel-good success story. There was it was a win-win on really every count.
Yeah,
and
cool.
We've seen a lot of beaver activity. I would say probably the most amazing piece of this restoration component was the beavers coming back to town. And they've really set up a home in that wetland.
Cool.
Yeah, it is really cool.
Now, there's a lot of other projects that you're working on down there, and I'm curious about one, the Recreation Water Trail Mapping Project.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, that is just an awesome project. It's really one of our cornerstones. It's the Tillamook County Water Trail. And Tillamook Estuaries Partnership has been leading that effort since mid-2000s. We have a person on board, Julie Chick, who's our water trail coordinator, who has been working with communities to create these water trail guidebooks. And it's really about pulling non-motorized recreational users, directing them to public access points, giving them a better understanding of stewardship. And we have created these water trail guidebooks for the Nehalem, Tillamook, and Nestucca, and we are currently in the process of wrapping up the Neatarts Bay. And with that, the entire Tillamook County Water Trail will have been mapped. And it is extremely exciting. So many people over the course of the years of the development of these guidebooks have been involved that by submitting pictures, attending meetings, reviewing the documents. And it has such a local flavor to it. They're really astounding, beautiful guidebooks. You can get them online at our website, or we can send them to you. They're printed on waterproof paper, so you can actually take them out into your kayak with you. And it's a really exciting program for so many people in the community, and it's really been a source of pride for a lot of people because it's something that they can point to as having been a part of, and it's also just such a beautiful depiction of their estuaries that I just really think that it's brought a lot of people together.
Yeah, and since you started this program, have you seen an increase in usage of the waterway and kayakers and stuff like that?
I think just overall that increase has been taking place just in general. I think that non-motorized recreation is really starting to get a real foothold, especially in areas like Tillamook where there's just so many opportunities. But I do believe that the Water Trail Guidebook has had an influence on that. We hear from people all over the country asking for copies of the Water Trail Guidebooks before they get out here. We find our guidebooks in the oddest places well outside of Tillamook County. You know, people are just distributing them like crazy. And I do think it's had a very positive influence on attracting folks to the area. And the idea is you know, so that comes with a little bit of a double-edged sword concept, you know. So there's more people using the resource. And the point of the books is to kind of manage how people are using the resource by making sure they're using public accesses, by raising awareness at the local level that some infrastructure needs are, you know, necessary, whether it's restrooms or, you know, adequate boat ramps or things like that. And so I think it's just been a really great tool for both the county and for us.
There's another program that you're doing that I'm curious about. Maybe you could talk about your Master Naturalist program.
Yeah, so we're just a partner in that. That program actually runs through Oregon State University.
Okay.
And it's generally a spring program, and they invite partners in up and down the coast, whatever geography they've defined for their class that semester, and invite partners to, you know, speak to some topic that they've outlined in their syllabus. And last year, we took folks out and did a little bit of a discussion on land uses and how they affect the bays, and also talked about water quality and the things that we'd been learning through our water quality monitoring. And it just happened to coincide with an exhibit on Bay Ocean Spit, which I don't know if you're familiar with Bay Ocean Spit, but back in the early 1900s, it was going to be the Atlantic City of the West. You know, and eventually washed away.
Yeah.
it's an infamous story, certainly, at best. And just the whole concept of how we look at land use and how it applies to base. So that's kind of what we did. And then while they were still in the Tillamook area, they then went to Neatarts Bay, and we had Tony D'Andrea from Department of Fish and Wildlife there talking about clamming and what to look for, and really kind of just the whole sort of biology of clams, and which people were just fascinated with. Of course, the timing was really bad. It started pouring during his speech, as often happens out here, and he's knee-deep in water, and so they quickly moved to the Whiskey Creek Shellfish Hatchery, which is where they ended their tour. So we've been a partner in that, but unfortunately, well, we'd hoped to be a partner in it this year, and they ended up having to cancel because of low enrollment. So they are really looking towards next spring and about ways to reach out and get people interested. It's a great program. One of my staff went through it, and she just loved it, and it just opened up so many doors for her afterwards. She's now she received a certificate for being an interpretive guide, which is a lot of what we do here, you know, in our education pieces and outreach. And it's just really interesting the added benefits that a program like that can continue to offer people, both professionally and personally. So I was really disappointed to see that it had to be canceled this spring.
Yeah, and that brings up something we alluded to earlier, which is the inclusion of volunteers. In your various activities. Now, how do you recruit and keep volunteers in your programs?
Yeah, so volunteers are just so important to nonprofits and programs like ours especially. So we have two major education events for K through 12. We have a program for our third graders down by the riverside, and for our fourth graders, the Children's Clean Water Festival, which are staffed almost entirely by volunteers, and we have a great recruiter for those particular events in Dean Moses. He's our education event coordinator, and so he's really developed a very long list of folks who help out at those events year after year. They're just incredible. And then we have our water quality monitors, who are also all volunteers. And then we have other opportunities. We are the Northwest Oregon Restoration Partnership, which is a native plant co-op, is a great opportunity for people to volunteer at the nursery. They've really developed a very strong group of volunteers that participate out there on a regular basis, and but it's an ongoing process. We embrace volunteers and look for the best ways to use them, and we're really sitting down and developing our volunteer program and looking at job descriptions, because I think that's very helpful for folks, and lining people up with their interests. And next week, actually, we're having a volunteer luncheon where we invite everybody who's volunteered for us over the last year to we treat them. My staff's going to be cooking the soup and serving them and giving back to them a little bit, you know, in the ways that they've been giving to us, and just trying to make them feel as special as we can.
Yeah, we've just got a short bit of time here, Lisa. I'd like to have you hit a couple of quick points before we wind up here. Number one is, if somebody is listening to this program and is interested in volunteering, how would they do that? And second, mm-hmm. I'd like you to describe a fundraiser you've got coming up called Bounty on the Bay.
Sure. So to your first question, they can learn more about us at www.tbnep.org. They can call us at 503-322-2222, or they can stop in our office in Garibaldi at 613 Commercial Street. We're on the port. We're at the end of the port property here in Garibaldi. Welcome any and all through any of those venues. They can also contact me at L, P as in Paul, H I P P, S as in Sam, at tbnep.org, and certainly be happy to have a chat with them and see what their interests are. With regard to our fundraiser, thank you very much, Bounty on the Bay, it's May 29th and 30th this year, and it is a fishing tournament, but it's so much more than that. So not only can you go out either in a guided boat, or you can be your own captain and spend a day out in beautiful Tillamook Bay or Nestucca Bay, because it covers both. You also get treated to a fabulous seafood extravaganza Saturday with oysters and clams and all sorts of fresh seafood donated by Whiskey Creek Shellfish Hatchery and the Pacific Seafood here in Garibaldi.
Bay City.
It's awesome, and it's actually a two-day event. We have a seminar Friday night for fishermen wanting to learn a little bit more and a really great dinner, and they can go online and learn more about that as well, or give me a call or email.
Lisa, sorry to have to bring this wonderful conversation to a halt, but we are out of time, and I'd like to remind our listeners that we've been visiting with Lisa Phipps from the Tillamook Estuary Partnership. Lisa, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, and I'll talk to you next Friday.